KJAN Sports.
Time for Check of Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. In high school sports last night, Nottoway Valley hosting its cross-country invitational. On the girls' side, Grizzled wins the team title with 54 points. Creston with 84, the runner-up. West Central Valley, Exira EHK, and Adair Casey Cam, the top five teams. Individually, Rebecca Topham of Grizzled was the champ. Destiny Scar of Nottoway Valley was runner-up. Alex Flippin of Grizzled, Maria Mostick of Creston, and Sharissa Mogler of Bedford, the top five. On the boys' side, it was Creston winning the team title with 74 points. Nottoway Valley with 77 was second. Van Meter, Clarinda, and Griswold round out the top five. Individually, Cooper McDermott of Creston was the champ. Noah Larson of Mount Air second. Jay Wolf of Creston was third. Shane Braheny of Nottoway Valley placing fourth in last night's meet. In high school volleyball, just a few matches around the region last night. It was IKM Manning topping AHST and Western Iowa Conference play 3-0. Essex beat East Mills 3-1. Murray over Mount Air 3-1. Nishnabotna topping Sydney 3-2. And it was Stanton over South Page in 3 straight games last night. Well, the Los Angeles Dodgers are the first team to reach this year's league championship series thanks to a dramatic home run. Juan Uribe belted a 2-run shot in the bottom of the 8th inning to give the Dodgers a 4-3 victory over Atlanta in Game 4 of the division series. Uribe's blast came one inning after Jose Constanza hit an RBI single to put the Braves up 3-2. Carl Crawford hit solo homers in the first and third innings to put LA up 2-0. Clayton Kershaw blanked the Braves over the first 3 innings while pitching on 3 days rest for the first time in his career, but he began to wilt in the fourth as Chris Johnson and Andrelton Simmons nicked him for RBI singles to not the score. Yasiel Puig had 2 of the Dodgers' 11 hits and ignited the game-winning rally with a leadoff double. The Dodgers now await the winner of the St. Louis-Pittsburgh series as L.A. will host the first 2 games if the Pirates would happen to win. The Redbirds managed to stretch their series to a deciding 5th game as Michael Wacha carried a no-hitter into the 8th inning and Matt Holliday hit a 2-run homer as the Redbirds beat the Pirates 2-1. Wacha was masterful until Pedro Alvarez homered with 1 out in the 8th inning, the Bucks' lone hit. Wacha struck out 9 over 7 1/3 innings before the St. Louis bullpen tossed hitless ball the rest of the way. Losing pitcher Charlie Morton allowed just 3 hits over 5 2/3 innings, but the big blow was Holliday's blast in the 6th. Those two clubs combined for just 4 hits, and that ties a postseason record set by the Astros and the Cardinals in the 2004 National League Championship Series. Game 5 is set for Wednesday in St. Louis, where the Cardinals ace Adam Wainwright will take the mound against rookie Garrett Cole. We'll have that game for you tomorrow night live here on the radio. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays have extended their season by at least 1 game as Jose Lobaton belted a 2-out walk-off solo homer in the bottom of the 9th inning to complete the Rays' comeback in a 5-4 win over the Boston Red Sox. That blast allowed Tampa Bay to pull within 2-1 in the American League Division Series and force a Game 4 tonight in St. Petersburg. The Red Sox scored runs on an error, a wild pitch, and an RBI single by David Ortiz to go up 3-0 in the 5th inning. But the lead vanished on one swing as Evan Longoria launched a 3-run homer in the bottom of the 5th. Pinch hitter Delmon Young poked an RBI grounder in the bottom of the 8th to give the Rays a brief 4-3 lead. Dustin Pedroia extended the game with his own RBI grounder in the 9th before Lobaton went deep off Koji Uehara. James Loney was 3-for-3 for the Rays, who limited the Red Sox to 7 hits after they surrendered 19 runs in the first 2 games of that series. Jeremy Hellickson will start for Tampa Bay tonight against Jake Peavy. Well, the Oakland Athletics have a 2-0 lead in the American League Division Series as Josh Reddick, Brandon Moss, and Seth Smith homered as the A's downed the Tigers 6-3 in Detroit. The A's blew a 3-0 lead before Moss hit a solo homer in the 5th, and Smith added a 2-run shot later that inning. The homers came off of Anibal Sanchez, who was reached for 5 earned runs and 8 hits in just 4 1/3 innings. Coco Crisp was 3-for-4 with an RBI and a run scored to support Jared Parker, who picked up the win despite yielding 3 runs and 5 hits over 5 innings. Grant Balfour closed out the victory, but not before he got into a shouting match with the Tigers' designated hitter Victor Martinez. The benches and the bullpens emptied, but order was quickly restored without incident. Johnny Peralta hit a game-tying 2-run single for the Tigers, who will try to avoid elimination when they host Game 4 today. Doug Fister tries to keep the Tigers alive. He opposes Dan Straley on the mound. Also in baseball news, Alex Rodriguez's lawsuit claiming Major League Baseball and Commissioner Bud Selig went on a witch hunt to force him from the sport has been moved from state to federal court. The Major League Baseball officials filed a notice of removal Monday, saying claims by the New York Yankees third baseman are governed by federal law. Rodriguez's legal team could file a motion asking that the case be returned to state court. Well, the weekly Associated Press Iowa High School football poll out yesterday afternoon looks this way. In Class 4A, West Des Moines Dowling Catholic is number one again this week, with Iowa City West, Pleasant Valley, Ames, and Waukee the top five. Cedar Rapids Xavier, Sioux City East, West Des Moines Valley, Bettendorf are the number 6 through 9 teams, while Davenport Assumption and Iowa City High are tied for 10th. In 3A, Bishop Heelan Catholic remains top-rated. Decorah, Pella, Clear Lake, and Carroll are the top five. Harlan is number 6, followed by Boone, Washington, Spencer, and Solon this week. In 2A, Kemper Catholic retains the top position, with Waukon, West Marshall, Albia, and Mediapolis the top five. They're followed by New Hampton, Boyden Hall, Rock Valley, Central Lyon, GLR, Spirit Lake, and Cascade. In Class 1A this week, Iowa City Regina remains top-rated. St. Albert stays at the number 2 spot, followed by Dyke, New Hartford, Wilton, North Fayette, St. Edmund, Maquoketa Valley, Van Meter, South Winnesheek, and Mount Air. In Class A, West Lyon is number 1 again this week, with BGM, Wapsie Valley, AGWSR, and AHST the top 5. AHST Vikings are 5th again this week with 84 points in the voting ranks. Montezuma, Lawton Bronson, Pekin, East Mills, and Hinton round out the top 10 this week. And in the 8-man classic, Zyra EHK retains the number 1 ranking with 9 first place votes. Don Bosco, Newell Fonda, Adair Casey, and Springville round out the top 5, followed by West Bend Mallard, River Valley, Janesville, HLV, and Coon Rapids Bayard at number 10. Iowa State football coach Paul Rhodes feels that his team will have no trouble bouncing back from Thursday's emotional loss to Texas. The Cyclones are on the road in the Big 12 this weekend as they visit 20th-ranked Texas Tech.
We're pretty emotional and passionate every football game. Win or lose, 10 or 20, last second, or games decided, in the third quarter. And one of the challenging things of athletics is overcoming both wins and losses and the drainage that's associated with both of them.
A quarterback, Sam Richardson, made several plays on third down by running the ball against Texas, and Rhodes says that they'll need more of that going forward.
We're 119th in the country in protecting our quarterback. That's not good. We continue to work to shore that up. At the same time, when you're facing good coverage and longer down in distances where it takes longer to run those routes, scrambling's going to be a part of it. He does it very effectively.
Well, Iowa State has beaten a ranked opponent on the road in each of the last 3 seasons, but Rhodes says there's no magic formula.
And it doesn't matter home or away. It doesn't matter whether it's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. It doesn't matter if it's day or night. You've got to execute well. And we didn't execute well Thursday night to finish the game and get a victory. So going on the road now against the 20th ranked team in the country, we've got to learn what it takes and then physically work to improve on those things and then go out and execute them Saturday morning beginning at 11:05 to give us an opportunity for victory.
Rhodes says the ISU offense needs to keep making progress if they hope to stay with some of the Big 12's high-scoring teams. Tech has been known for its offense over the years, but Rhodes says the Red Raider defense has also made major strides this season. Well, Geno Smith is becoming a comeback kid for the New York Jets. The Jets blew a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter before Nick Folk hit a 43-yard field goal as time expired to give New York a 30-28 win over the Falcons in Atlanta. Smith engineered an 8-play, 55-yard drive right after Matt Ryan hit Levine Toililo for a 3-yard touchdown with minute 54 left to put Atlanta up 28-27. Smith was 16 of 20 for 199 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. He had no turnovers after entering the game with a league-high 11 in his first 4 games. The Jets improved to 3-2, with 2 of those victories coming on drives engineered by Smith with under 2 minutes to play. Ryan completed 36 of his 45 passes for 319 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no picks. But the Falcons fell to 1-4 as they moved 4 games behind first-place New Orleans in the NFC South. Elsewhere around the league, the Oakland Raiders have released quarterback Matt Flynn just 6 months after they brought him in to be the starter. Flynn was acquired from Seattle in April for a 2014 fifth-round draft pick and a conditional pick in 2015, but Flynn was beaten out for the starting job in the preseason by Terrell Pryor and then fell to third string behind undrafted free agent Matt McGloin last week, leading to his eventual release. Thad Lewis will be the Buffalo Bills' interim starter after the team elected to stay in-house in its search for a replacement for injured rookie quarterback E.J. Manuel. Coach Doug Marrone announced on his weekly radio show Lewis was promoted off of the Bills' practice squad and will start Sunday when Buffalo hosts Cincinnati. Manuel is expected to miss at least a few weeks and potentially longer after spraining his right knee in a loss to Cleveland on Thursday. Blaine Gabbert is back on the bench. Jacksonville Jaguars coach Gus Bradley says he expects his starting quarterback to miss Sunday's game at Denver because of a strained hamstring suffered in Sunday's loss at St. Louis. Chad Henne will make his third start of the season. Philadelphia Eagles coach Chip Kelly says quarterback Michael Vick is day-to-day because of a hamstring injury, and Nick Foles could be the starting quarterback based on his performance. Vick left Sunday's win at the New York Giants in the second quarter after injuring his left hamstring running out of bounds on a scramble. Foles came in and threw for 197 yards and two touchdowns in slightly over a half. The Eagles play at Tampa Bay on Sunday. Well, the 30-year lease that binds the Minnesota Vikings to their soon-to-be-built stadium gives the team plenty of money-making opportunities, but it also discourages owners from cashing in on a quick franchise sale once the publicly subsidized building opens. A windfall clause is among the many fine print details in the 222-page agreement signed by the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority late last week. It would entitle Minnesota Public Partners to a cut of the profits from a sudden team sale. The Vikings will owe annual rent to the authority, but the team benefits from a valuable naming rights agreement. For the 350-plus non-football days, the stadium can be used for everything from rock concerts to amateur sports. Not permitted are events featuring sales of guns, adults-only entertainment, and periodicals and pawn shop-style offerings. Well, three-time Indianapolis 500 winner Dario Franchitti will need a second surgery on the broken right ankle he suffered when his car went airborne into the fence during the last lap of the Grand Prix of Houston. Franchitti also fractured two vertebrae in his spine and received a concussion. He had surgery on the ankle last night and remained in the hospital afterward. Franchitti is expected to return to Indianapolis on Wednesday and have a second surgery on his ankle. 13 fans and an IndyCar official were injured by the debris that flew into the grandstand. Two people were taken to a hospital. And in the National Hockey League last night, just two games, Edmonton went extra time as they won in a shootout, 5-4 over New Jersey, while the New York Rangers picked up a 3-1 win over Los Angeles. That's Jack of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.